Amen. What a blessing. Thank you, Robbie. That's awesome. Love that instrumental music. This morning, Brother John's going to come this and share the word with us this morning. Are we going to do children's church this morning? We have two. We have two wonderful children. And Grandma and Grandpa just smile real big. And they are wonderful. They're a heritage from the Lord.
Good morning, church. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It looks like we're a little lopsided this morning. I didn't notice that till I stood up. But that's all right. This morning, I want to talk about the days of our lives. And perhaps, by the time I'm finished, you'll discover we're only talking about the day of our life. Hopefully, I will give you a different way to think about the passage of time. Although there are some things that can't be changed. Rock and I were speaking this morning before service about how after you reach a certain age, in your mind, you can still do everything you ever did. Just as long as you don't try to do it. And in some respects, that's a blessing, because some of the things I did in my past, I'm glad I can't do again. That may apply to some of you or not, I don't know. The Romans had a phrase, carpe diem, which means, in Latin, seize the day. Make it yours. Control the day rather than letting the day control you. Now, of course, if you stop and think about that and think back about the days of your life, you will remember that there were days you had no control over. You can't stop the flood water from rising. You can't change the direction of the tornado. You can't change the sudden aches and pains in your body. After all, we do live in the flesh. We're only sojourners here on earth, but while we're here, we are subject to the laws that God created for the universe. So, we can't control everything, with one exception. No matter what happens to you, no matter what anyone does to you, if you're a criminal, for example, you'll wind up in jail eventually. You have no control over that, but you still have control over your mind. You choose how you react to whatever happens. The example that I think of for myself, you might think this is a small thing, but it really, really aggravates me to stand in line at Walmart listening to the conversation of the person ahead of me with the checkout clerk after they've finished their business, but they want to continue talking. I have places to be, and that's not one where I want to spend a whole lot of time. But I try to remind myself I'm in control of my reactions. When I do get there, I can still smile at the checkout person. Still wish her or him a nice day. I have control over that. Can't stop them from talking. And honestly, as much as I'd like to, I can't stop my aggravation from building. But I can try not to show that. I can try to act like Christ would have acted. Said that wrong. Anyway. Seize the day. Carpe diem. Jesus had something similar to say, but he took it a little deeper in Matthew 6 and 34. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Oh, by the way, I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible, not because it's my favorite, but because it's the one with the largest print that I have. Don't worry about tomorrow. Let me ask you a question. And if you want to raise your hand, that's up to you. But who ever woke up tomorrow? Anyone? That's right. When you go to sleep this evening, you'll go to sleep today. When you wake up by the calendar tomorrow, it'll be today. If you think about it deeply enough, if you want to really twist your brain, looking at the succession of the calendar days in your life, and you were born today, and you will die today. It is one day we live. Not the days of our life, it's the day of our life. There's a difference between earthly linear time and godly divine time. I used to think, when I was a small child in church, sitting in the First Baptist Church of Horton, Kansas, which no longer exists, heaven sounded like it was the most boring place that could ever be. Who would want to spend eternity, if you can even wrap your mind around eternity, who would want to spend forever sitting on a cloud playing a harp? Not the young boy that I was. There was fishing to be done. There was rocks to be looked at. There was snakes and frogs to be picked up to scare my sisters with. There were all kinds of things to do here. Why would I want to go someplace with nothing to do? You see, we grow up knowing only linear time. And it forms our personalities, oftentimes. But think about where it is we're going to go. In heaven, there is no past. There is no future. It's all now. The eternal now. You're not going to worry about how long it's going to be because it's always now. We have a past, we have a present, and we have a future here on earth. God has only now. And in actual fact, that's all we have, if you think about it the right way. As each moment comes, this is now. As soon as I speak these words, they're in the past. What I'm going to say next is in the future. All I have is now. So I better be careful about the words that come out of my mouth now. I can't change the words that came out 10 minutes ago. If they were not good words, that's just the way it is. They're there. Can't change them, no matter how much I want to. I can't predict the words that are going to come out of my mouth tomorrow. I don't know yet. I do know I'm not always the nice person you see standing up here. Sometimes I say things that bother people. But here's the key element to think about. Every minute you spend wishing the past was different, wishing you could go back and change it, all the time you spend regretting the past, all the time you spend predicting or worrying about or anticipating the future is robbing you now. to be in the now, you have to consciously be in the now. Now, the past is good for some things. You can remember things that taught you lessons, or should have taught you lessons then, and maybe now you remember and say, okay, maybe I shouldn't do that again. The future is just something. We can't predict it. We think we can. We plan vacations. We plan tomorrow's activities. Now, if you're like me and the plan for tomorrow is to work in the garden and it rains, I got the day off. Somehow, I don't ever have a secondary plan. I should have, but usually I don't. What is it then? What is it then that we can do with the moments of our life? I want to read a passage from John, the 12th chapter, first 8 verses. And I want to take you a little deeper into the text than it appears on the surface. So reading then, Jesus, therefore, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Now, put it in your mind. Jesus knew, but he was the only one who knew, this was his last trip to Jerusalem. He was on the way to his crucifixion. He was the only one who knew it. So they made him a supper there, and Martha was serving, but Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with him. And we know about Martha and Mary, who will come next. Because Mary, well, let me start over. Martha was a very earthly person, caught up in her earth. And she was a good woman, don't misunderstand. She was caught up in her duties. She had work to do. She didn't have time for nonsense. She didn't have time to chitter-chatter with the neighbors. She had work to do, and she was doing her work almost all of the time. Mary was different. She might have been thought of at the time as kind of a flake, if you will. The reality is Mary was spiritual. Mary was more in tune with God. So then we read that Mary then took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. You know, I think Mary knew somehow. Well, we know what the somehow is. She knew this was the last and only time she would have a chance to worship and glorify Jesus here on earth. And she took that chance. She was living in the moment. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples who was intending to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to poor people?" Well, this is explained in the very next verse. Now, he said this not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief, and as he had the money box, he used to pilfer what was put into it. And therefore Jesus said, "Let her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial." He knew he was about to die. Somehow, so did Mary. We'll get to the somehow in a minute. "For you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." And I'd like to stop right there for a minute. Jesus was wonderful about speaking to the current subject. Judas was talking about money, so Jesus talked about money or the poor. He could have said, "You will always have earthquakes. You will always have hurricanes. You will always have volcanoes. You'll always have trouble of one kind or another. But look for ways to glorify me, even in those times of trouble." I think the important part of this passage, if you put it in the context of passing the time, Mary had an impulse to do a special thing, a way to worship her Lord and Savior. I speak only for myself, but I suspect some of you can say the same. I've had impulses in my life, impulses to do good. I've had impulses to do not so good. Well, when you live in faith, you instinctively know when you have these impulses which ones come from God and which ones don't. And I'm learning what other people who grow older have said is absolutely true. As I grow older, the things I regret the most are the things I didn't do. Don't get me wrong, I regret a lot of things I did. I wasn't always a preacher. In fact, looking from the outside, you would never have said I was always a Christian. But those things have been forgiven. And truly, the times I ignored the good impulses and failed to act, those times have been forgiven as well. But I wish I had acted on them. I wish I had been like Mary. I wish that because I was afraid of what people standing around might think, being in a fancy restaurant, and I've been in a few, where I didn't say grace because I knew the people around me would look at me funny. That's wrong. That's where I definitely should have said grace. Sometimes our earthly flesh stands in our way, doing the right thing. I think the important thing to learn is how to overcome that. How to be like Mary, how to listen for those impulses from God and act on them. Again, somehow, Mary knew this was her one and only chance to worship and glorify Jesus. Only he knew he was on his way to the cross, but Mary impulsively knew to honor him now. This life is fleeting for all of us. Now that I'm growing older, I understand better how fleeting it is. But remember, we're not trapped in linear time. We're going to the eternal now, but we can practice for it on the way. We can learn to live in the now and stop throwing away the moments that God has given us, regretting the past and worrying about the future. And remembering that whenever you wake up, it's today. And to rephrase a little bit how I started, this is the only day the Lord has made. It's the only day any of us have. Your day may be longer than mine, or mine may be longer than yours. We don't have any control over that. We don't have any control over the hair on our head. I'm not going to stand here and brag, because I got nothing to do with it. But this day, this now, is all God has given us. It's up to us to take advantage of it. It's up to us to use it for his glory, for his purpose. And how do we do that? By showing love to each other. It's the best way we have to do it. And frankly, it's the only way. None of us have any control over what's going on in the rest of the world. Nobody in Mercer County that I'm aware of can solve the Middle East problem. or the trade difficulties with China, or the nuclear problems with North Korea. You can waste a lot of time getting mad about it or regretting it. The best thing to do is pray about it and get on with what you can do. And never be fooled. The littlest thing done to glorify God is better than the biggest thing ever done for the wrong reason. Smiling at a stranger. Speaking to someone you don't think likes you. Well, unless they've shown that, the dislike is in your head. Speak to them, find out. And if it's true that they don't like you, well, then you can pray for them. One thing I've learned is it's hard to hate somebody you pray for. You may not ever really like them, but it's hard to hate when you pray for them. So live in the now. It's all you've got. This is the only day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And all God's children said, Amen. And I'm sorry if this wasn't as long as usual.
It's perfect. Praise the Lord. A great, great word. Thank you, John. Carpe diem. Today is the day. Amen. That's great. This is the only day we have. Great word. Thank you, sir. Stand with me. We have a song to close with, Ron. Let's close with a song.
You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in love. Seeking you as a precious stone, Lord, to give up I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Taking my sin, my cross, my shame, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all. Sing to Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, sweet Lamb. Oh,
Remember, when tomorrow comes, it'll be today. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face to shine. Shine, Jesus, shine upon you. Be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Go in the peace of God. In the wonderful name of Jesus, you are dismissed. Amen.